It is 9:20. Just another reminder, it is futile, these exercises, these conversations that we have without your mind coming to bear via WhatsApp, a voice note or a text note on 0725671567. You can also call 021-446-0567 as we welcome Greg Mills, director at the Brenthurst Foundation. Great to have you, Greg.
Good morning.
Greg, I think we should just start off. What is the Brenthurst Foundation?
Well, we've been in existence for nearly 20 years. In fact, this is our 20th year, and basically as a applied policy think tank. So we started off trying to gather ideas from around the world which work in different development settings, and then we set about trying to apply some of these good ideas to specifically an African environment, and that's what we've been doing for more than 20 years. Worked in about 24 different countries, always at the invitation of governments, of the head of government, and a few other countries outside of Africa. So it's very much in the works in the interest of trying to promote better policy and using policy as a tool for development across Africa.
And your founders are the Oppenheimer family, a vested interest, obviously, in democracy on this continent. Maybe you want to just tell us why the Brenthurst Foundation?
Well, our work, a lot of our work has been about understanding the relationship between democracy and development. Now, it might work elsewhere in the world, but across the African continent, there's a very strong correlation between quality of democracy, in other words, the better the democracy is, and the nature of institutions and, in fact, economic performance. So there's a very close correlation between democratic standards, thus, and the way in which countries perform. They grow at faster rates, they're less prone to volatility, and they're less dependent on single commodities. So democracy is generally good news for Africa, which means effectively, in shorthand, that politics is both the problem and the solution in various instances. So it's very important from our standpoint that one has that level of democratic accountability and competition to enable countries to be able to prosper in the interest of the majority, not just in the interest of a few.
The Oppenheimers are known to have sponsored political parties, not necessarily indiscriminately. On what basis would such a sponsorship happen?
On what basis would the sponsorship of the political parties happen, or
yes,
the foundation?
Yes, by the founders, by the Oppenheimer family.
I mean, I think you'd have to ask them directly. There's a wall between what we do and what the family might do from an interest in democratic accountability. But, I mean, the general view is that more democratic competition, a stronger, more vibrant democracy is good for us. And that's very much in the liberal ethos of what the family has attempted to do historically in South Africa. And that's why they started this foundation as a way of giving something back to try and ensure that Africans don't head into another lost decade of growth and of falling behind the rest of the world. That's really what we endeavor to do, as I say, across many locales in the African continent.
Yeah, not another decade, please. Okay, so this poll doesn't necessarily say anything new. There's been polls that suggest that ANC is going to come in at 39%. What is different about the Brenthurst Foundation poll?
Well, I do think, I mean, I think I'd correct you there. I think it does say something new because it's the first major poll done since the formation of MK. And
sure,
it has MK at 13%. So it shows very clearly that the big losers, and the EFF has been going up for a long time in various polls, big losers are the EFF and particularly the ANC. And the big gainers, and this is another startling finding of this poll, is the DA. So, you know, I think that's a big number one takeaway. I think the second big takeaway out of this, and this is why these polls are different, is we don't just ask about political support for parties. What we are interested in is what people think. You know, what do they think are the key issues facing South Africa? Where do they think we should be heading in our foreign policy? And overwhelmingly, South Africans are concerned, unsurprisingly, about unemployment and corruption. Together, that's 55% of the poll. Leadership is at 17%. Load shedding is 17%. Leadership's at 12%. And that's supplanted crime, interestingly, as one of the top four issues. So I think the big takeaway out of that is is the rise in concern about corruption and leadership, and that's probably costing the ANC heavily in at the polls right now. And I think the other thing, which is a notable trend, this is the third poll that we've had in 18 months, 80% of South Africans say that the country's heading in the wrong direction, and more than 70% say that the ANC government of the last three decades is responsible. So I think what voters are saying to us via these polls, and it's a significantly large polling sample weighted across the country for demography, for where people live and so on, is they're saying that the ANC hasn't delivered, and they are signaling at this stage, of course the election hasn't taken place, how they're going to vote as a consequence of that.
Yeah, so we know Helen Ziller calls it a watershed election 2024 if the ANC comes in at under 50%. We've also got experience with coalition government, especially at local government level. It looks as if this is the reality, our reality in the future. It hasn't lived up to expectation in the past. Clearly, something's got to give there.
Well, I think the type of coalition governments that one's had up until now have been these very marginal coalitions. One or two tiny parties have really held the balance of power, and they've been easily swayed by tempting offers to jump the other way. And this is why you've seen this level of volatility. But, you know, bigger coalitions, more stable coalitions with larger majorities offer a different sort of future. But, I mean, this poll and other polls show very clearly that South Africa is heading towards a coalition government. The ANC is not below 50. Let's not forget, the ANC is below 40%. Now, it may rise, of course, in the intervening 2 months, but we are most likely heading towards a coalition government in at least two of the three big provinces. The three big provinces accounting for 66% of the country's economic output are, of course, the Western Cape, Gauteng, and KZN. In KZN, MK is now 25%, beating both the ANC and the DA, which are level pegging at around 20. In Gauteng, the ANC and the DA are now at roughly between 32 and 34 each, which means a coalition government is in the offing. The real question is, what coalition? Is this a DA coalition formed around the MPC, but it'll have to involve others because the MPC is at about 33% of the South African vote right now? Or is this an ANC-DA coalition, or an ANC-MPC coalition, a coalition, if you want, at the center? Or is this an ANC-EFF or ANC-MK coalition?
Or is it a grand coalition? What's the Prentice Foundation's position on an ideal coalition? A grand coalition in ANC and DA?
Well, I mean, I don't think we haven't got a position on this. What we're interested in is trying to assess what voters think, not what we think. And that's why one does polls of this nature.
You don't have a position on what is good for our immediate future?
Well, what is good for our immediate future is more democratic competition, both in the policy space and in the accountability space. And I think if you look, and I think actually South African voters, forget about what we think, South African voters are saying, if you look at the feedback on which province and which city people think is better governed, remarkably, a third say the Western Cape and a third say the city of Cape Town. And respectively, that's 12% of South Africa's population and 8% of South Africa's population. So people from elsewhere say that the Western Cape is better governed. Perhaps not everybody in the Western Cape thinks so. But certainly the rest of South Africa thinks so overwhelmingly. So I would think that a coalition of the center, of not of the extremes, a coalition that coalesced around moderate bits of the ANC, the DA, and other parties would be good for South Africa. That would be very strong, very stable, and not subject the country to radical swings in economic policy.
I think stability for our future is probably in our best interests. Now, one last question, because Zuma makes a debut appearance at 13% of the vote. This is a national sample we're talking about, is it?
That is correct. So, but weighted by province, weighted by demography as well.
Okay, so obviously, or is it a bad assumption that the bulk of his support comes out of the KwaZulu-Natal province?
No, it's a completely reasonable assumption. That's why he's at 25% in KZN.
Okay. Okay, but that's a pretty grand debut appearance. Do you think they're going to keep this up?
Well, obviously there's a bump effect, as ever in politics, when, you know, a party is launched. But I think it's indicative of an element of disquiet amongst the South African population at large, not just the Zulu population, if one wants to define it that way, given that, as I said, 80% of South Africans think the country is heading in the wrong direction. So my suspicion is, unless something radical changes in the next 2 months, you're going to see the type of figures emerge out of MK and a particular political force in KZN. Now, whether that ends up in violence or in tensions or in new types of political coalition, and what that means, interestingly, for the future of Cyril Ramaphosa, because the one thing common between the EFF and the MK seems to be that they wouldn't do a deal with Cyril as president of the ANC. So yeah. This election may not just be about the ANC, it may also be about
Cyril Ramaphosa. Okay. We appreciate your time. Director at the Brentest Foundation, Greg Mills.